Keith, Happy New Year.
Jaime Macias, Happy Christmas Kwanzaa.
All that.
All of it. And New Year, all of it.
Whose campaign was that? Do you remember?
Yeah, I was a professor at Long Beach.
No, which brand?
Christmas Kwanzaa? Yeah, Sarlos and Sons.
Yeah, you made that up?
I think I did. I don't know.
Was that Volkswagen? Was that Virgin Mobile? Who did that?
I don't know, but I know I did it like 10 years ago. And I didn't want to leave anybody out, so I just went Christmas Kwanzaa. Yeah, it was a good call.
Yep. You came up with the 11 herbs and spices too, I'm sure.
Secret herbs and spices.
How are you doing today?
I am pretty great. My wife suffered a pretty bad knee injury over New Year's, but in my wife's good fashion, got drunk on crutches. So that was a party, and we had a great time. She was awesome. Yeah.
Did that happen? You said that happened on New Year's Eve?
No, that happened the day before New Year's Eve.
Okay, got it. So she had time to get up on crutches and then get drunk. That's what's up.
That's my wife, man. She is rad. Man. How was yours?
It was fine. No crutches, no drunk. It was good. I am a go to sleep and wake up next year person now.
Oh, so. Dude. Dude, come on. I stayed up till 4 in the morning New Year's Eve.
Yeah, you stayed up for both of us.
I did. I put you on my back, Holmes.
I appreciate that. When there was one set of footprints, that's when Keith was there.
That's when Keith carried drunk. That's when you carried drunk Keith home. That's how it works. Oh, my gosh. Now we have a show title.
Right on.
This is great.
So we're 3 days deep. It's running away already. You feeling good? You feeling recharged?
I definitely feel good. I definitely feel recharged. I'm scared about this year, which is always a good place for me to be at the beginning of a year. First day of school kind of vibe. And I'm ready to take it on. And like I was thinking while I was driving today, I have no new ideas. That's what I said to myself. You know, I go, you have no new ideas and you have 365 days to come up with one really, really good one and about 900 crummy ones that you could probably do some stuff with, but one really, really good one.
On empty. Interesting. That's not bad. So I guess then if you have to get 1,000 ideas out, you need to have and execute 3 per day or so.
Yep.
You can do that.
I think I can. And I came up with my resolution, which is just be positive, which is a really weird thing to say. Mm-hmm. But be the person that when other people see you over the course of this next year, they go, dude, there you are. And they're excited to see you because you're the one that's helping or trying to put people in contact with each other or, you know, being a little altruistic, like, oh, you should know this guy, but like really go all out in that way. That's my real big goal for the year.
That's what's up. That's not bad. That's good.
No, I'm feeling, honestly, I feel like, you know, I could say, lose weight. And I'd be like, okay, I can do that. Grow my business, like all the boring stuff. But I feel like if I choose to be the fun, you know, not even fun, but just say yes to a lot of stuff and get in the car. I mean, we've had that conversation before and see where it goes. And take a lot of flyers, man. I mean, that's the story of my life and let's see how it goes.
Yeah. Keith Sarlos. Yes, man.
Yeah. It sounds really dumb, but it might just,
you
work.
Know, it's funny. It's like, it's the time of year, right? It's like, it's hard to not be cliche, totally. But so you just have to just lean into it. You know, it's just like, whatever. It's like, it makes sense to me. It doesn't have to, it doesn't have to sound good. It doesn't have to sound like, you know, it's very interesting. But I think, you know, I mentioned a few episodes back, like, I don't have a lot of holidays left or there's like, you know, you're an adult. We were talking about, your vineyard day and how you've kind of created this demarcation point in the year. And you have like time to go into bottle, time to go on sale. Like you have these spread out things that are part of your life and business that happen at certain times. And I basically, you know, I don't know, for whatever reason, my birthday and New Year's Day are the only kind of ones that remain for me. Even Christmas and Thanksgiving and holidays seem to just kind of smear by in the calendar for me. And there's so much that's on the to-do list around them, whether it's like, you know, I don't know, for whatever reason, they just don't feel like they have that same kind of breakpoint that New Year's and my birthday do, which both kind of coincide and come back to back.
Yeah.
So I'm literally in the window, the trough between New Year's and my birthday, which is where I kind of am reflective of it. So I haven't kind of made any decisions on what it is, but it's an interesting place to be and definitely optimistic to help you have 1,000 good ideas, hopefully. But, you know, yeah, we'll go for somewhere between your 1 and my 1,000.
Perfect.
And I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing I've learned, and you having such young girls and my kids turning, you know, 13 and 10 or 14 and mm-hmm. 10, you get your life back. It sounds weird to say that, but you do mm-hmm. because now, like last night, my brother was in town and his kids, and I looked at my daughter and we walked out the door. I'm like, you're in charge later. And we left. And it was like,
yeah,
that when your time becomes more yourself again, or you own mm-hmm. it, and you have your kids can pick up their own slack and carry their own bags, it's a pretty right. nice place to be. I mean, you got a couple of years until then, but
yeah,
it's definitely, you are living for another person right now, full bore.
Yeah. Two, at least.
I know.
Yeah. It's interesting. Actually, I'm having a little taste of that right now. They're still out of school. I don't know what's going on, but apparently school is always out.
Yeah, it feels like that.
and I'm back to work. This does count as work. And so what ended up happening was, after all the major holidays were done, I just kind of hit up my mom. I was like, hey, the girls, can they come stay? So they're at my mom's. They were there yesterday and they'll be there today. And they're hanging out with their cousins and they're having fun still and enjoying it.
That's awesome.
And so yesterday was really interesting. Like, you know, this isn't healthy, but I just kept working. I stayed at work till 8 p.m. because I could. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then I came home and I kind of like hung out with my wife for a little while. And it was nothing crazy. It was weird, though. It was just like, oh, this was like what our life was like before them. And I haven't felt that in a while, even though they've stayed over and gone other places before. But I've always been like, you know, trying to plan something big or do something when they're gone. So just kind of like the being with them gone was an interesting, like, oh yeah, I remember this. And this is weird because this is what it would be like if we hadn't had them. But also like it, the whole is there, but you know, I also was able to wake up at 5 a.m. and I did a little meditation and I did a little work and then I had a conference call and like didn't have to rush out the door to deposit them anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting, like, I don't know what it is. This is not real life. I know that, but it's just been an interesting, like, alternative 24 hours where my schedule kind of like was handed back to me and I have domain over myself, which I'm sure as soon as we get off, they'll be like ready to come home. So that'll be over, but
sure.
it's interesting. So we look forward, but yeah, 2019, I'm hyped to jump into it with you and on other projects I'm working on and do some stuff and have some fun and go some places you know, I'll be right next. I'll be positive with you.
Yeah.
We'll be positive together.
One of the things I kind of kick this off is I, and hopefully this dovetails into a new, you know, topic we want to talk about, but I listened to A Man on the Moon, The Voyage of the Apollo mm-hmm. Astronaut, and Tom Hanks talks yeah. about it. And then Balki Bartakomous reads it, Bronson Pinchot, you know?
Yeah, this is the book I was reading 6 episodes
yes.
ago, I think,
and
10 episodes. Did you listen to the whole thing?
Yeah, so the part I loved, I got in the car with the family, and we had a, you know, a total of, what, 14 hours on the road in the last couple of weeks, and I just put it on, and everybody had their headphones, and then headphones started falling out, and pretty soon questions started coming from the back seat, and then we were all, you know, invested. The part I really liked,
yeah.
and I got to share with my kids, which kind of dovetails into that positivity thing, is this was a time where people were inventing something every day. and they were solving problems, yep, and they were doing things at 22 years old. Mission commander at NASA was 33. These astronauts, yeah, were super young and vibrant, and what a positive, you know, time for our country, right? A small step for a man, you know, a giant leap for mankind. And though America, mm-hmm, went, it was for all people, right? And
sure,
that, yep, aspect of that, that mindset is something definitely I want to not only bring into 2019, but I know that there's something in the next 365 days that you and I can figure something out and do something amazing. I mean, we've done it almost every year since we've known each other, and it's been fun, exciting, and something's come from that. And I guess that's the anticipation, mm-hmm, that I am not only excited for, but you had something you wanted to talk about kind of along that line.
Oh, well, you know, I think it was yesterday, China landed this does go directly to that. China landed a rover on the far side of the moon. So, you know, it's big quotes, we're back on the moon. Yeah. It's just interesting to see it, you know, you can't really separate out the politics and the industrial war complex that's connected to either our space history or theirs, but it's just like, it's still exciting to me. I'm a fan of space.
Me too.
I'm a fan of the moon. And it's just, it's interesting to see that they, you know, they did some things. A, we can't talk directly to the other side. So they put a satellite in orbit of the moon, which actually bounces telemetry and communications to the rover. And it's just rad to me. I want to see more of that. I want to see more Mars talk. And we've just had like a series of great things that have happened in the last few weeks with the new rover we have on Mars. And then I think it was on New Year's Day, or maybe it was even the second, we have new photographs coming back of the oldest thing and the furthest thing in the universe we've ever photographed. And that's being transmitted back to JPL and to NASA. And that's just, you know, it's just amazing. That's the New Horizons. I don't even know what we consider that project or that device. It's not, I don't think it's a satellite. I think it's just like on a trajectory, kind of like Voyager, where it's getting farther and further away and sending stuff back. So I don't know. Any space stuff happening with you, or have you guys been keeping up with this, or have you just been kind of digging into that old Apollo stuff?
No, you know, I think right now we're at such a really cool time, and hopefully we're realizing it, you know, with all the SpaceX stuff that's going off, we're kind of in the hub of it. You know, we have at our tasting room, we've, mm-hmm, thrown the launch parties, right, where all SpaceX shows up to our place after the rocket goes off and everything went well. And
how do I not know about
because
this?
Because honestly, I'm not even allowed to share it on Instagram or any social media or anything, you know?
Oh, now we're going to have to redact this
episode. No, we're good now, I think. Yeah, also, with Matt Pay is going to drop the beans to Elon, right? But we're kind of in the center of it. And I have a lot of people that are, you know, Wine Club members and people coming through that are working on these projects. And it feels closer than ever. It just really does, you know? And I asked my old man, I go, what did it feel like during that thing? He's like, oh, you know, stuff would come on the news and we'd hear about it from Walter Cronkite. And yeah, and then life went on. But the thing I really enjoyed from that conversation was Neil deGrasse Tyson was talking about the budget. And one of the numbers that hit super hard for me was how they were spending 40 cents for every man, woman, and child during the Gemini and Apollo program on space. That's crazy, right? 40 to 50 cents up to a buck of every person that lived in the United States was basically funding the space program. But the things that came back out of that program has changed our lives, you know, immeasurably, and we don't really know about it. Like GPS, like cordless drills, lithium ion batteries, Velcro to a certain, mm-hmm, extent. Mm-hmm.
Tang.
Yeah, you know, yeah,
right. You got to throw that classic Tang in there.
But those things breathe back into our daily lives. We're talking right now over microphones that are plugged into two computers via USB over the internet. That was invented by a college group because they wanted to share information back and forth. So when people do these things, there's this great trickle down effect that we will experience coming forward. And those are the things I'm kind of interested in. That's what I'm excited about, because I'm 100% the guy that wants to be the type 2 civilization where, you know, we're not just on Earth, we're on Earth and Mars and the moon. And then all of a sudden, self-driving cars seem novel and things happen so quickly that, oh yeah, you know, I probably won't go to the moon, but you know, my kids maybe. And I think that I honestly think that's within reach. And I think China landing things on the backside of the moon. Now we're looking to be able to communicate on places we're not usually able to communicate. And for me, I think that's the bigger piece of it, right? There's going to be 50 to 1,000 things that they invented just for this mission that hadn't been invented before that will hit us someday. You know, our cell phones will be able to have perfect signal everywhere. Stuff like that, you know? I'm super bullish about this stuff. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's, I have to try to keep my tinfoil hat to the side a lot of it, because it is tied up and connected to governments and posturing and politics and all of those other things, but it is just fucking cool. And it's exciting. And every time, specifically for SpaceX, you know, they are launching rockets at such a clip out of Florida as well as out of Vandenberg that I get to be delighted by, oh, there's a rocket launch happening in 10 minutes. And I'll, you know, if I happen to see that, I'll stop what I'm doing, because I don't watch the calendar. But if I do hear it come up, I'll stop what I'm doing and I'll watch it, because it's 15 or 20 minutes and they have invented a new trick.
Totally.
It's like Sean White doing an armadillo. It's like they fly the rocket, it separates, it flies itself
it's
back,
pretty.
It lands upright. It's just like, it's literally a new trick. I've never seen a skateboard do that. I didn't know you could do 8 somersaults on a motorcycle over a boat. It's like I'm not tired of this trick and it's amazing, and I want to bask in that for as long as it's still like gives me delight, because, you know, in a couple of years we'll be like, yeah, it landed on a drone ship, whatever. And it's not nothing. And I think Blue Origin is doing that now as well, which is Bezos company, which I don't follow too much, but I know that they have recovered at least one of theirs, and there may be a third as well. But
let's just take that for a second, right? Let's take the few little things, and I know this might be boring to people, but it's exciting to me. If you think of the, hey, we launched a rocket and we landed it on the ground, right? Now, all of a sudden, the cost of spaceflight has gone down exponentially. That's just one thing. Number two, when they're launching this thing, what has become amazing was the last launch was at Vandenberg. It got scrubbed, but it was during Cash's Christmas performance, right? They said, hey, there's going to be a launch, so we're just going to wait. And everybody was standing outside staring at the sky. The whole school, parents, everything was waiting for it. And then someone went, oh, it got scrubbed. And everybody goes, oh, and walks back in, right? But that... Yep. In and of itself is, I think, such a powerful thing. You know, we wait for the Olympics. We wait for these major bonding moments as a world or a society. We landed another rover on Mars. I mean, we are making steps forward that maybe during the space shuttle era, which I'm a big fan of as well, you know, it didn't feel like this. That felt like, oh, what are they doing? I have no idea. Okay. And who watched, right?
Wait, you didn't feel this way during
no,
space shuttle?
Not nearly as hopeful, or we are moving the ball forward versus, oh, we're just going into space.
That's true. I think I felt I was very excited, but I was a child as well. You know, like that was before this, that was our space stuff, right? That was, and they were just cool, you know, like, and I wanted to be a part of that. I went to space camp. It was different though. We were, you're right. This feels different and grander. Because we are stretching and we are going further, whereas those were laps. Those were and there were things that happened that were scary. So we were, you know, which there still are, but luckily, you know, we haven't lost too much human life recently. But like I don't know. It was different. I do take your note. Like, we're going to the furthest reaches. Like, the fact that Voyager is outside our solar system at this point, I think maybe both are, you know, like, it's just crazy. Like, the things that we're starting to touch or have an impact on are even outside of our own comprehension. Sure. And are, you know,
this,
like,
is bleeding
that's,
edge
that's
stuff.
Really an interesting thing. Yeah, it's even beyond that, right? It's like we don't even know what it is. It's so it's interesting to watch, but continue, no, please.
But don't you think the other aspect of that, right, with this revitalization is the right word, but Neil deGrasse Tyson becoming our quote unquote Carl Sagan, you know, you need a champion of that, with Cosmos coming back to TV, with all of those little bits and pieces being kind of pumped forward, where it's now pushed forward into our collective consciousness, the way kids went from being a cowboy, which is basically, if you watch Toy Story, I could totally digress into this, but if you watch Toy Story is that era of kids were cowboys, and Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett, my buddy is Chris Parker. His grandpa is, since he passed away, Fess Parker. You know, biggest thing in the world, and coonskin caps and that, all that jazz. Right. But then when space hit, it was the cowboy and Indians thing was shelved, and everything was about space because it grabbed a hold of kids' attention. And I think that's the thing that is important to.
It became the right. Became the right stuff.
Instead of kids go, oh, I want to be a cowboy. People are like, no, man, I want to be an astronaut. And that's an actual job. And those people really did it. And I think just like kids now, they like, oh, I could build an app. I could do this. The future does seem way brighter than when I was in the 90s when I was a kid. You know, that's my personal opinion. The 80s and 90s were, you know, great movies and stuff like that. But it didn't feel like it was jumping ahead like it should have.
Hmm. Yeah, it does in retrospect seem like a little bit of a lull. It's kind of the same. It's kind of that same thing. It's hard to say if these are true. Because, you know, you obviously have the perspective of whatever age you are at the time, but those kind of seem like lap years as well, kind of just like, as opposed to stretching and expanding further. And then you get into like the late 90s and internet, and then there's something happening, but it's still insular, right? We're connecting in more and different ways internally, but I don't know. It's it's also been unfortunate to hear Neil Tyson has many allegations coming out against him. So
I know that's a bummer.
I'm holding out hope that it's not the case, but you know, he may not end up being the dude that we thought he was, but that is an important role that will need filling if that is the case. It's unfortunately, that's so much of where we are as well, where it's like, if you're up to no good, you're not going to get away with it.
Well,
so
not to digress into that, you know, but don't you feel that era of the, let's say, 70s and 80s, the bow got pulled back in such a way where maybe it didn't feel like things were happening. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But now we were just having that conversation over dinner last night with my wife and my brother and his wife and my mom and dad, where it feels like, well, here's another number to throw out. And I think this kind of encapsulates a little bit of our point. Like in the 90s, there was what, 3,000 homicides on New York, on like New York City, right? And this year in 2018, there was less than 300. How the world is kind of feels like it's becoming safer, that people are becoming more tolerant of each other, or maybe it's that if you were a kid in and grew up in an area or into something that the people around you weren't into, you felt, you know, angry and despondent, or, you know, the typical, if you grew up in the middle of nowhere and you had to buy a skateboard out of a catalog and you were the only skater in your city, you know, people are like, oh, what a dirtbag kid. And all of a sudden you start wearing that and you become the kid that throws rocks, right? Or you liked punk music and all of a sudden you're a mean kid or whatever. But now it just feels like there's so many more avenues of connection between people that like, oh, you're totally different than me, but you like the same stuff. Dude, let's hang out. Awesome. It's that Anthony Bourdain, which I think the sad part about him leaving is that the greatest thing I see from all of those shows was if you sit down and eat food with someone, even if they're a different culture, different race, different ideologies, different everything, you have that. You have, oh, this food is delicious. You know, you'd believe different things than me, but we can get along.
Maybe. I think, you know, but it's – I think that that maybe is not necessarily the case. He had an open – he had a hunger and an openness which brought him to those places. And, you know, I say that because there are literally people who tried to put those type of events together here in Los Angeles, and it didn't go well, you know, because it's I can only say that my net outlook is that I don't know if things ever get better or get worse. I think they do change. I think the things that we're fighting change. I think possibly, you know, New York homicides could have gone down by 10x, but, you know, somewhere else in the world, they're probably up by 10x. And we're dealing with different problems of the environment, which are much worse than they were, and political leadership, which is from a whole other planet. And you know what I mean? So I feel like things... It's weird, and it's not, you know, we get back to this place we kind of end up, especially when we start talking about space, like, what is it all about? But I think it just changes, and that there is always a set of weight that the current generation has to lift, and hopefully we get closer to a place where we're helping to take care of each other. I think it is great that people are able to find each other, but they're still... You know, I think there was a 9-year-old who also killed herself because people were bullying her. And I look at my kids at 5, and she may have been 7. And I think about like, how bad does it need to be that a child can go from where my kids are to in second grade, you know, taking their life because people are treating them a certain way. And that's what I just keep coming back to this. Like, you have to be positive, kind of like you were saying. But you have to find a way to put some value and care and invest in the betterment of you plus one at the very least. To, you know, it's kind of one of those things that if you're not moving things in the right direction, how can you expect anybody else to? I don't know.
Not to talk negative. That's another negative thing to say. That girl that got bullied, right? That's as horrible of a travesty that we could possibly experience as a society. We have let that girl down, right? We failed her.
Yeah.
But it also talks of if we talk about it, if we understand it, if we take this stance, right, where anti-bully, I understand that it's a tough thing to do 100%, but we are talking about, we are thinking about it. I don't think my parents, though I love them, had conversations with other parents about parenting and about stuff like this. I think being in the collective conscious, and now I'm going to dovetail this back into the space part of it, where that has always been our utopia. Strangely enough, you know, you watch science fiction and things like that. There's no money. There's all these different races all together working. You know, Star Trek was awesome about that, where they're like, oh, we have a Russian that does this in the height of the Cold War. You know, we have interracial kisses. We have a guy from another planet. We have an Asian guy. We have, you know, everything's represented in this balanced, you know, college, you know, the cover of the college magazine kind of way, right? Where, yeah. That's still, I think, the hope, right? The hope of science or the hope of space exploration is to level us or to level us up from garbage. You know, one of the things I thought was so great about that book I was reading is when you know, we could talk about the overview effect, which I think we've talked about before, but, you know, when they can see the Earth without any lines on it, without any map lines, where it's just one huge collection.
Yeah.
Every single astronaut that comes back feels a sense of this is a spaceship we are on Earth that we need to get our shit together and do what's right for all of it, you know? And the more people that can experience that, the more people that have, you know, empathy and have been out there and go, oh man, this is something we need to save. If we get our face out of the tree and start seeing the forest, you know, that's what I'm talking about with my resolution of 2019. It's see the bigger picture in the most positive light and then share that. Because if you start fixing windows instead of breaking them, things get better quick.
They do.
But maybe I'm just high. Maybe I'm just high on good vibes.
As you should be. No, I think it's, you know, there's a pill in the applesauce, and I try to, especially with the space stuff, I just try to enjoy the taste of the applesauce. But it is like, it is a constructed narrative that is put around it.
Oh, I have no qualms about that. I totally agree with that.
It is fantastic. You know, but I'm with you, and I mean, I think we can. We'll come back. I'm sure we'll have some more space news next week, and space we will talk. Say some of the same things. Space time, but I'm excited. There's stuff as far away as it's ever been in the history of mankind, and we're also back on the moon, and we're also newly on Mars once again, and that's exciting that it's happening concurrently and now, because for so many periods during our life, it's kind of been, if not dormant, at least a lot more wintered than it is now, especially, you know, between when the shuttle program ended and that kind of decade after that.
Lensley X.
I'm hyped. Lensley X. So, Lindsley turned 10 years old on
congratulations.
New Year's Eve. So that's also been...
Thank you, dude. Way thank to you, go, sir. Man.
I'll take it. So my... I think that the thing that takes the most of my professional efforts these days and the longest of my projects, Lindsley Automatic, is 10 years old, which is an interesting thing to just... Not only for itself, this is all the same conversation. New Year's, going to space, the meaning of life and what we choose to do with it. But, you know, it's interesting to look at not only what I've contributed a decade to, but as its own thing that has been around for a decade, you know. So, and, you know, a lot of people have helped with that. My partner for many of those years, Leonard, we had a set of employees for a period of time that were with us. Dave, who still is. There was you who came along and asked me to do things that I wasn't quite ready to do for others. And, you know, some of the things that you have asked me for are now like, the staples of what the business has become. And so it's been many years, many people, many brands, Anheuser-Busch, Nike, Toyota, many places. You know, we've taken it to Europe, to Asia on cruise ships. It's a weird thing that started out of saying, you know, oh, I have a camera here, I have a computer, maybe I'll make a photo booth, back in 1997 in March. You know, and then the company starting in 2008. So it's been a weird thing. And I don't know, how long have you been at,
you know, it'll be
wine biz now.
It'll be 10 years that the tasting room's been open. We've been at it for about 20 some, mm-hmm. you know, farming and making wine stuff. But really the life of this, you know, 10 years, it'll be our, yeah, this is it. I mean,
this iteration.
And to look back and just to give you, you know, some props. The one thing I have learned over the last 10 years is that there's a million reasons that something's not going to work out. A million. And there's also a million there's a million conversations of, oh, we should start this business that does this and, you know, all of it. But when you have that moment mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. you have an idea, you believe in it, and then you shut yourself in to make it real, is so hard. And not everybody has it in mm-hmm. them. And I'm not saying that in a negative way, like, if you don't have it in you, you should be ashamed. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying to have built something 10 years ago that was nothing, that didn't exist, that wasn't real, and then actually put the blood, the sweat, the tears, the pain, the growth, the throwing up, the nurturing, all of it, and keep it alive.
Yeah.
And providing for a family is, that's putting someone on the moon. That honestly is your own, that's your own moon landing. I mean, it sounds crazy as shit to say that, but dude, I truthfully believe that everybody has their own moon landings. You know, the fact that we put someone on the moon was 100,000 people all working together to put people there. And when it's just you and you and your wife and your wife and your kids and all these partners and people working with you, everybody's looking at the one person that is saying, yeah, we're going to go to the moon. We're going to put it there. And congratulations, man.
Well, I take the sentiment, but I don't know that there's any moon landing participation trophies. I think that's one of the things that's special about going to the moon, is like, you actually have to go to the moon. But I take the sentiment.
Yeah, but you know what? The people that start businesses and things like that, the bigger piece of that puzzle to me is, you never did it for the trophy. You know, you didn't. You did it because you wanted to make it. And if somebody gives you a trophy, it almost feels weird.
Yeah. Well, that's the interesting thing, right? Is I guess about starting these businesses and doing these things is, you do embark on an idea or on a concept or on a product or on an experience or on a feeling or whatever it is. But at least in my experience, what it is ends up being completely different, or whatever the end goal that you see in sight. You know, if you've done it for a decade, even the tasting room and like the stuff we're working on, like, it is so much different. You are leaving behind whatever the plan was, just because you get to the end of it, but yet it persists. So it's been interesting, and it's probably, if the tasting room is almost 10, so I mean it's probably very close to the same.
I think it happened simultaneously, actually,
because I had been building Lindsley for about a year and a half before it was the business of Lindsley, but it may have only been. It may have been a week old.
And we did a tasting,
which is weird.
Out in a vineyard.
Not that you would have necessarily.
Before the place was done.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Exactly, because
I know,
because apparently the two of us get ahead of ourselves. So Lindsley X, you know, is here. It's been a decade. And, you know, as with all things right now, it's interesting to look at. And as I ponder whether or not to keep my Flickr account and I'm downloading all my photos, I'm kind of seeing the history of it kind of rattle in front of my face while I'm doing my archiving. So it's interesting. Yep.
You're in review.
So that's what's up.
We got a lot.
January 3. Right on, my friend. Well, thanks for taking some time. I'm going to go start working on that one good idea for you.
Bong.
Right on. Bong.